Numbers 9.
That sounds like the cloud.
That's the cloud. Sounds like the Beatles song.
That's the cloud?
That's the cloud.
Oh my gosh.
As I've talked about so often of late, each believer, to be a believer is wonderful, it's great, but that's not the end of the story. And what this whole mystery is going from the world, you can be a believer in the world, but if you're, from God's standpoint, you're a darling infant. And then it goes from there to you're in the world as a believer, that's infancy. And you come out of the world, and the whole process out of the world is the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And that journey is what each one of us are on. Then from they enter the Promised Land, then you're a young man, but you're still looking for guidance and all that good stuff. And then finally, you're on the mercy seat. And when you're on the mercy seat, therein your obligation is never to leave it again. Stay in the mercy seat. But it's all dependent. Each stage, each going is dependent on your obedience to God. And this is what Numbers 9 is about. So let's start in verse 15. On the day, we've studied this 1,000 times, but it's so important. On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So the question is, when the tabernacle is reared up. Let's go to Exodus 40. Most of 40 is about the building of the tabernacle, or it's mostly about the tabernacle being reared up, as we just said. Go to verse 34. Then he just reared finished building the tabernacle, and all of the right pegs were in, and washing and laboring and all that. And inside was the Holy of Holies, which is, first of all, is the showplace of it's the inner tabernacle. Now, there's a tabernacle and the inner tabernacle. And in that inner tabernacle are a number of things. The outer portion of the first portion, it's got the table of showbread, bread, the altar of incense, and the candlesticks. And the priest can enter that on many occasions. And then you go to the inner tabernacle, it's covered by that 18-inch thick curtain. They only could enter it once a year, and only the high priest could go in. Now that's a picture of something that's in the New Testament, a picture of us. The question is, I believe that everybody here is at least a believer. And so that means you've at least got one finger inside the tabernacle. But then the real journey goes from the tabernacle to the Holy of Holies. And that's, let's read it. Verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent, of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were taken up, they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For this, the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night. And in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. So that's what happened initially. In my opinion, the reason that the church has gone so apostate is that they've lost this mystery of the journey and what it really means. All of it is about faith. And faith isn't, I have faith that God exists. That's the child, the young child position. But you've got to get out of that child position, and the only way you can do it is by repentance. Think about how many we've talked about often. There were probably about 3 million Jews, and among them was the mixed multitude that went with them. They weren't Jews. But it took 40 years for them to get to the place where they entered the tabernacle, where someone could at least enter the tabernacle of the Holy of Holies. Now, this is what really this chapter 9 is about. So let's start in verse 18, 15. Okay. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched their tents, or pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Now, if you don't understand that you're the tabernacle of the Lord, then none of this will make any sense. But if you understand, and again, you're not the tabernacle of the whole thing, you're only the tabernacle, the mystery of it, is that you're... your inner being is that tent of the testimony, and you've entered the tabernacle. We got at least a big toe in when you accept Jesus or whatever, all the different wording of it. But you're still in the world. You've got one foot in the testimony and one foot in the world. Now, you can't. It has nothing to do with the passage of time. It all has to do with your obedience. Now, if you see the world as a place you like and a place that you want to be in, you can still be you can still be a believer, but you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the tabernacle. Now, the only way that can that you leave that place is when you slowly start to see that there is no value to anything in this world. There's no, especially, you're sick unto death of the world system. And then you can repent. But if you don't see that, you can't repent. Now, but there has to be a willingness. You have to be honest with yourself. Each of you that became, when you became a believer, you became a believer because most, at least in my opinion, you've lost the ability to think of yourself as I'm getting better, I'm going, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But God wants you to finish this journey. He wants you to enter that place, that Holy of Holies, eventually, and you then sit on that. That's the Father position in this thing we've talked about. The child, the young, darling infant is still in the world. The teenager is when you're in the wilderness going through. The young man position is when you've entered the promised land, but you haven't seen the fullness yet. And the fullness is when you see, and at each level depends on your becoming bored with the level that you're at. Or at least God has shown you something. But this is why these scriptures exist. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's scary.
Yeah.
But if you love the world, you're not seeing correctly. And so it has nothing to do about the world. It has to do about your obedience. Does that communicate? Now, all of that, the tabernacle doesn't come into the picture unless you leave the world. And you remember there was 3 million and only two entered the promised land and entered the Holy of Holies.
Wait, there's 3 million, only two people?
Only two people.
Out of 3 million?
Right, there was more than that that entered, but if you were born in Egypt, then you had to leave Egypt as the first one, and then you entered the wilderness when everything's wrong, when you forgot everything except trying to get something. And then finally, you went to the promised land and then the Holy of Holies.
Yeah, everybody died in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb during a 40-year period, and then they entered the promised land.
And Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were born in Egypt, but they entered the promise. All of us were born in Egypt. But you have to start being honest, and this is really the key in all this mystery of God. There are so many programs. In fact, that was the thing that I was doing just before one of the things. I was vice president of a company that taught people how to be enthusiastic. Believe it or not.
I just can't imagine you teaching people how to be enthusiastic. That is hilarious.
It was called Enthusiasm Incorporated.
Yes, I know.
And it was a thing we put together with tapes and how to everybody, you could bind yourself up so you could sell a car, a house, or do your job better, all that. But and it sold a lot. But Harry spent a long time trying to find somebody that had that Enthusiasm Incorporated, which it doesn't seem possible that I would ever think about you and stuff like that, but I got sucked into it. But it was the final step for me coming out of the world when I saw the stupidity of that deal that I was selling. But anyhow, this journey. Well, let's continue. Well, let's was started, verse 18 again. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. Now, what was the commandment? The commandment was whether the cloud was down.
That's interesting. It's called a commandment, and yet there was not like a don't do this or don't do that.
It is the commandment. It's the ultimate commandment.
It's a cloud, and it's fire. It's called a commandment.
Right.
That's an odd situation to call the lifting of a cloud a commandment. You don't see that yet.
Well, I see what you're saying, but I see it differently. It's easy for me now to see that why it's a commandment to leave the world.
It's like a different language almost that God speaks. We try and interpret this stuff through English, but it's not English. It's spirit.
It's the only thing it can do is to cause you to want to understand it more, and then you search it. That's what I did for all those years. I'd come upon something like this, and I'd say, now I got you, Lord. I'm going to throw the whole damn thing out. And that didn't work too well.
Enthusiastically.
I'm going to kill you, Tom, just in general principles.
If you throw something, let me know.
Two brothers.
So you can duck,
19. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Now listen, this, you understand, it's called a commandment, but it's the basis of obedience to the Lord. And the journey now isn't going someplace. The journey is going from you here to something where only this has been your guidance for all these years, and all of us worshiped our minds. Even if we're stupid, we worshiped our minds because that's what you give importance to, your opinions, your ideas. I've made many people angry in Bible study or on the radio or when I was teaching, talking about it. Because you make fun of them, or I did. You're conning yourself. You have to wind yourself up every day so you're going, oh no, I love the world. I don't have to wind myself in that. But eventually it becomes not a place of life, it's the place of death. So you can die and he lives. He does, again, his humility is so great that he will not occupy where you are. And that's the humility of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, praise God, it says I'm on the mercy seat, so I'm on the mercy seat. No, you're not. You're not in the mercy seat until you're on it. And the only way you get on the mercy seat is by repenting from everything else. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Anyway, let's go down. It's the same reading, but let's start in 20 again. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Now this, what fire and cloud are similes. Fire is going out, leaving. Cloud is staying. Not trying to figure out, not trying to jack yourself up. Just resting. Until you're able to repent. But you can't repent of something that you like. It's the way of the world, the way of our mind. All right, anyway. Verse 21, and so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up, in the morning they journeyed. Wherever it was by day, whether it was by day or by night, the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. And whether it were 2 days, a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and they journeyed not. But it was taken up as they journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, by the hand of Moses. Now, what is all this about? If ever, whenever, whatever you're doing, whatever is happening, if you have more than one option for the next step, you don't do anything. You wait until it's clear. There's only one option. So really, this commandment of the Lord is doubt. If you have more than one option, then you have to make a choice between two. As long as you have to make a choice, there's doubt. You have to exercise. Do you all at least see this as a possibility of God's guidance?
Yeah.
And it's terrible. I mean, I still don't like it.
Never will.
What?
You never will.
Well, I loved it before. But it took years, several years for me to understand. I mean, I thought I'd arrived at my conversion experience. But then I started thinking, I thought up all kinds of crap and tried to do it. But I'll do it in the name of God, but it was still me. But you have, as long as you love the world, you can't, none of this is, it's I told a story, and this was really ticks me off. I have known at least 8 billionaires in my life, many more millionaires. And one in particular, I'm not going to say who he is or was. It was a friend. I worked with him a long time, and we were buddies in politics. I mean, he was my campaign chairman. And what am I going to say? It didn't matter. It was Sam Wiley, who was he with the other guy from Dallas, were two of the first $100 million people in this country, hundreds of millions, and finally both of them became billionaires. And it's when we were still over on Oak Lawn, and there was that restaurant that I had that we were advertising for on a talk show, but we got free meals.
Huck Finn's.
Huh?
Huck Finn's, I think.
Yeah, Huck Finn's. And it was open all night, and I was still a night owl, and I went down to the Huck Finn's, and there was my buddy drinking coffee, chipped one of the booths, and he waved at me, and I came and wanted me to join him, and we chatted a bunch of crap for a while, and then I said, has all the money and the riches and the acclaim that you have experienced, has it done anything for you? Is it meaningful? And he got really mad at me, but he answered no. And I said, then you're on the right path. But the idea, you know, I think we've talked about this, I was worth more than a million in terms of all the deals and stuff that I, but it just meant nothing. And that's the, that, But I want you to see and pray about it. Look at this journey carefully and see how it applies in your own life. But and not because it says it's so, but because it's experienced in your life. And it's really important that you intellectually see this trip, to see that we're on a journey from the world to the mercy seat. And you have to, again, of the 3 million plus that left the promise, that were born in Egypt, only two made it to the mercy seat. So it's rare. It's not, billions of people are now believers. Well, that's the merest of beginnings. It's good. But when I've gone to many churches, all telling me how to get stuff. Every time they told me how to get stuff, I got sick to my stomach. How you can get peace. How you can get blah, blah. How you can get closer to the Lord. All are, sound good as sermons, but they're a bunch of crap. Because you're not going to learn from the priest if he's doing his job except how to repent better. Anybody see at least maybe this possibly is true? If this is where we're...
Your experience you just outlined was you were looking for how to get dead, not how to get improved or whatever. You'd already seen the cross.
But I quickly forgot the cross.
Yeah, but somehow it reminded me of a very significant moment in time and space was the resurrection when the Spirit of God entered into Christ and he came alive. Same thing in us, but the moment that Spirit enters us.
But it's not until you die. It doesn't enter us until...
He laid on the slab 3 days. He's pretty dead.
Not until you die.
Now, I'm not denying what you're saying. It's the same exact thing. We're not in that condition. That Spirit is not going to resurrect. It's just not.
No, because there's no resurrection necessary because you're still alive. But that's
I'm really just confirming what you're saying.
Well, I know. I'm just
sounds like you're arguing with me.
No,
right now.
I'm not. I'm clarifying it because this is something that hopefully for the people that are listening,
yes.
They have to have a jillion questions, and I don't want them to call me.
Let me ask you a question, please. So over these past couple. Well, I know it's been longer than that, but over the past since I've been here. And just talking to Pete and Bojo and Gary, have you had the pain that you're in right now and that you're going through at this stage, when you're in your room and you're suffering like that, do you just wish you were dead? Do you ever think about that?
I'm sure. No, I prayed for death many, many, many times. You've all heard the story, but I'll tell it. Glenn has it. I was naked in the bathroom.
Yes, God, to forgive you.
And I asked, and I went through all this stuff. It was the most... You can imagine having a bed of urine and feces and grinding yourself in it because the pain was killing you. And that's what he just said. I heard a voice that didn't come from me. And it was, Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from this pain. And it would be a great story if then, at that moment, the pain was delivered. That would sell books. But that's not, it didn't happen. I live in constant pain, but not the kind that caused that writhing on the floor. And that's rare. I mean, that doesn't happen that often. It happened once with Nick, when I was with Nick, and it just scared the crap out of him. And, anyhow.
But when you're in that state, like now we're present day, and you're in the pain, it's a pretty constant theme. I'm assuming that you're just... You've already repented for asking to be out of the pain, but you can still pray, right, to be relieved of the pain. I was praying for you that this morning, I told you, specifically.
And it worked. It's not... The pain isn't the issue. The pain is understanding it and being content in it.
That's another place. That's another. That's otherworldly.
Yeah.
To do what you just said.
Yeah.
Be content and understand that it still goes on, but you're just like somewhere else about it.
Well, I mean, the scriptures, the New Testament's full of stories about that.
Yeah.
One more thing, please, Pete. You know, has lived right there for so many years. So when I was in there the other day, I know you're so grateful for him. And I'm grateful for him too.
Yeah. Now, now he has a partner or another one.
Yeah.
Not
Lisa,
a partner, but Lisa.
It's very rare. It's almost unspeakable that that you only have to, you guys know better than I do, but to witness the love and the unselfishness. It's just
I see enough of myself. I promise you. Yeah.
What? Now, I know you're trying to make light of it, but anyway, I don't want to go on, but I had to say something because picture speaks. There's an old Rod Stewart song that says every picture tells a story. Pictures, visualization. In a moment, you can't. I think it's impossible to describe it in words. But
well, the reason Lisa's become so important is because she's a whole lot better looking than Pete. No, but she and Pete, not necessarily together, but they're. And it's constant. They're. I mean, I couldn't exist without him. And I'm more than thankful.
I know. I am too.
All right. I'm sorry it ended up talking about me, but you know, I wanted you to understand this journey has nothing to do with how you feel. It shows what is... The gospel is a mystery. If we try to put our value systems or our ideas of our mind to what the gospel is, it will always become heresy. Because you're still in this business of from the fall. Instead of living by faith, it's a different thing.
Holy, you remember you said something to me before about tail-bearing. That's when you're talking about someone behind their back or something, that it's you might as well be murdering them or something. Am I on the right track of that? But if there's someone in the and that needs prayer, that the community, Bojo, Pete, I know Gary will be familiar. I know you will certainly be familiar. There was a... And this is a small community of believers that a friend of mine that you know very well, his whole world came to an end. Not death, physical death, but spiritual, financial, on a scale that is earth shattering. Now, I just got this news 3 days, Darren. It's
what's the matter? What is it?
He got revealed by his wife of some activities that have been going on for a very long time. And he's in a treatment center right now, but what got revealed was newsworthy because he does the Donald Trump Jr., he does the Patrick Sands with the Hunts. He's connected, you guys know who he is. He's connected on a business side and in a political matter that's in that realm, and he's in the 100 million thing. And he is, I was just with his son last night, who's 22 years old, and I felt this morning when I woke up the prayer to bring this up to you men right here, because he needs some prayer. It's over. His life, literally as he's seen it, his kingdom has been crashed down. There's been infidelity on a scale that is mind-numbing, what got revealed, what he's been participating in. And it blew me away because I've known him for 40-something years. He's been a part of the Trinity. He's helped financially here before. But I wanted to throw that out because I don't know where to take that information. I don't want to be talking about to that to people that are not faith-based. So if you guys want to keep him in his prayers, Bojo, you hear me? This is big for him and his world and his kids. You're talking about losing, he's talking about losing everything. They just bought a brand new house, Gary. They lived on Beverly. They bought it on Turtle Creek. $14.5 million. He was in there for 5 days before this got revealed on Tuesday of last week. They'll probably never set foot in that house again.
Like one kingdom goes,
yes,
for another, perhaps.
The the counselor said to his wife Julie, he's built his whole kingdom. It's a faith based place he went to. Mm-hmm. That he built his whole kingdom has been built on darkness and financial. Been hiding with the he's been talking about this morning about the money.
Yeah.
He's been able to go a long time because he's had $50, $60, $70 million to be able to cover that stuff up. So it's on a big scale. So if you hear anything about it in the press, or if you get a news saying, because it's he's connected into that realm.
Yeah.
Pray for him.
It's sad.
That's it.
Amen. All right, take a big guy.
Hey, you knew Carpy Collins died, right? The young one.
Yeah.
Carpy Collins.
The muscle kid?
Yeah.
Davy Seal from Carpy Collins. Yeah. He died.
When?
It's been about a year now.
Not too long ago.
What was it?
I'm numb right now.
Yeah, what
about
did,
this?
Yeah, what did...
It's either that he's going to be deaf or he's going to surrender. You may be seeing him coming back around here. Because I'm going to tell you, he's got two friends that really love him. That's me and Byron Cox. And when his wife did the intervention on him, and this is public, I'm not tailbearing, I'm sharing with my faith with you guys. I don't feel like I talk openly in front of, you know, about him, so I'm not doing anything that I feel like talking. You follow me on that? Okay. When he got intervened on.
Well, what does it mean to be intervened on?
Okay, I'll tell you. His wife went to a counselor who I know, named Chico West. He's a believer down here, and he does a rehab center, and he's really faith-based. Julie found out he'd been cheating, and she had been taking her iPad computer, and she had linked it to his text messages. So whenever his text message would go off, it would do a ding ding. She would run into her office and she could see exactly who he's corresponding. And it would happen at times when he's talking to her. Okay? So she started investigating this behavior. And so when she found out and what was revealed, what was really going on, to the extent that it was going on, you're talking prostitution, you're talking full on, just go where your mind goes and think of the money. It was that caliber.
Well,
let me finish. She got Chico. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know how to confront it. So what Chico did, he got everyone at Colt Ventures, all the people that work with Darren, the secretaries, JD, he's part of the guy that runs the office. He got Smokey, who you met before. He's the black preacher. He got Chico. She had all three of his children and all of them in this room. So Darren's in his new state-of-the-art workout facility. They conjure up, planned it Tuesday morning. They're in the room. The son walks in to the workout and says, "Dad, emergency now." The trainer high techs it out of there. He comes in and boom. Darren's been around long enough. You know, this is an intervention. But the people there are the people that he works with, the people that he can't, you know what I mean? That know that they keep the war chest of the mind.
So yeah. They're there to help.
They're all there to confront.
Is that the idea of the intervention to help?
Exposed to. So Darren sits here. 13 men and women are around here, and Julie gets here. He sits down in shock, and she starts reading these texts. Yeah, I'm talking. I don't want to go there. I mean, enough to make you want to throw up. Reading them out loud from God knows how long. Cocaine, alcohol, all of it. Getting wasted. Sorry.
Would you sit down?
Okay, but listen. It's emotional. Thank you. Help me out if I'm going too far.
Well, yeah.
Okay, I'll end on this. You get it. He gets on a plane with my brother, my older brother, and Chico, and they fly him to Minneapolis that night. And he's been in there now, it'll be a week. But he's got two options, I believe, that's going to happen. He's either going to surrender or there's going to be a death. It's too heavy, what just dropped on him.
One of the things that most people don't realize is much of his fortune is built on his wife.
And that's the whole thing. And that's what she was confronting. How could you do this? It's all of her money.
Yeah.
All of it. And you're talking in the 100 million. See, her father was the one. Remember, for 40 years when you used to get a credit card and you go to the gas station, the grocery store, you get the credit card down and they give it to you and they go, and you get a carbon copy. And that was her family. That was her dad. And it invented it, patented it, and everything, sold it to the Chinese. And so when he passed away about 25 years ago, the inheritance was his three kids. That's when Darren had married in. Long story short, he's right. That empire. And I'm talking helicopters, private jets, horse ranches, state-of-the-art indoor arenas, two homes in Telluride, right by Oprah Winfrey's house, one for $9 million, $8 million. I'm talking, you know what I mean? I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Has been and they can go into Darren. See, he right now, he's thinking probably in his head, I'm going to get this fixed. I'll be able to work this out. You know, I came to Jesus. I believe in Jesus now kind of thing, right? She's got the divorce papers. She's got the restraining order. She's got everything. His children know and everything. So this guy went from one moment working out in his gym, thinking everything's cool, to the next minute losing his whole Colt Ventures will be dissolved. He had Chad Hennings for the Dallas Cowboys who works for him, and these guys are that kind of caliber of people, real good guys that, you know, good whatever. They're good moral guys. They're gone. So when he comes back, I'm just preparing. He comes back. I mean, this door, I'm praying that he walks in this door.
And yeah, but here's the problem.
One more thing before I quit. Julie told me this. His wife told me this. He said back in 2009, 2010, when we started that thing with Steve Bannon, we were coming to this Bible study, and Darren was coming there. I don't know if you remember that, but he was coming there every morning. And he said that that was the best that she's ever seen him spiritually, was during those years.
One of the things that's critical is that he's going to get all this good advice on how to be fixed. And that's not what he needs.
I know it.
And so, obviously, if you need me, I'll... I mean, I know Julie, and I know she didn't like me very well, but...
She loves you. She wouldn't talk to me. But I'm doing this, and I'm backing off. I'm not going to exert myself. I said, I'm available if he wants me. I'm backing off, though. It's too heavy for me.
But again, I want to just make
that
clear.
Was one of the ways I was going to raise some money, though. And it was a timing. Darren was going to give me. You follow this?
Yeah.
All of this stuff.
If it comes up.
What?
I'd be more than willing to do it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, but I need to know the gravity of this. I needed you to know the gravity of this. Well, this is not some little thing. This guy's life is over.
Yeah, but let's. What I want you to do.
Yeah.
Is never talk about this again.
No, I won't. I had to bring it up to you guys though, because you guys know him, and I won't. No, I know where you're going, and I won't. I want to help him. I don't want to hurt him.
Right.
So just don't talk about it to anyone else. Right.
Right, and don't help about. I mean.
Let's say it again.
He is, this has to be, he is a broken man. Now, there's two things that happen when you're in that position. One is people will tell him about, yeah, well, here's what you have to do, and this isn't going to happen next. And that's all bullshit. What he needs is to see his dad. Barry, we've said so often, if you weren't Barry when you were baptized, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. If you don't understand, baptism is your burial. There's one that comes out of the water, it's Jesus Christ. So all the things, all these people, and I'm glad to have that encounter, but it's like his employees don't.
This public humiliation,
yeah, know,
too, is embarrassment. It's just beyond belief. I don't know how he can even come back to this town.
Well,
I mean, I'm just, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, just if it ever comes up, I'd fly anywhere to go see him.
You would?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
while you're here, I wanted you to know that I was showing Glenn the footage that I got from Austin, and Glenn said, let me borrow that. So he's got it in his possession. I wanted you
no,
to...
No, I don't want you to give it to him.
Well, then give it... I need it back. I have the connector that makes it work anyway. You don't.
I know you do.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'll
be back.
I don't... Here's where we...
No, start. I know where you stand with that. Now I'm thinking about it because you've already reported it, because that's valuable. I mean, for you want to be able to sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
I have two different people that are interested.
No, I know. I'm gonna have to work. I'll work with you through this.
No,
about
just
the price.
Just bring it back to me.
No, just bring it back.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I got it.
Okay. Did you look at any of it?
No. I haven't even hooked it up yet.
He
still in the sack.
He doesn't have a connector.
I don't have the connector or anything.
Yeah. Well,
I want to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I want you when you look at it.
No, I'll just go through the way that you want me to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You and I looked, and Pete, the three of us looked at it. We'll glimpse it together. It's a huge amount of data.
I know it is. This is what you were telling me.
And it's already been, there's already been one pass through, the first pass. What we have now is what they thought, all the crap.
How many hours do you take altogether, people, approximately?
80.
80 on that thing? 80 hours.
There's
something in
there. Yeah.
You can't, I mean, you understand,
yeah.
These were, there's so much footage, we could do anything with it. We could make two, three. But I want to say one thing to you, because I would, what I would like for is to you and I and Pete be the producers of it.
Yeah, I was talking to Pete. I have one.
But here's the issue: there are things in it that I will, I do not want in it, and that you may want.
Just
that,
give me an example. I'm not going to give me an example. Just a
okay. One example.
Yeah.
With your friend Bill that I raked over the coals in Bible study in California, that can't be in it.
It's so powerful, though.
Doesn't matter.
So, what was your motive? What do you think? What are you thinking that's damaging? That they're making you making it portray?
The book is already being written about me.
Well, it's already out. The one with Doug.
No.
Another one's coming
this
out.
This is a major book.
Another one's coming out.
The one that there's a woman that
you told me about the
James Randi.
That woman we're talking about.
That's studying cults, and she wants to write about us.
But stop. She came here.
She came here.
And you had her.
Showed her. She came to Tabernacle, so she's got to know that at some level that we're not a cult.
Oh, she doesn't think we're a cult.
Pardon?
She doesn't think we're a cult. She thinks that. The whole book is not about.
Well, you don't know what she thinks, Ole. A lot of people, okay. Faithful to the wounds of a friend, receive a gift of dreams. She may be acting like she's not a cult. No, listen,
this isn't a cult. It's
I know it.
It's destroying me.
Oh. Gotcha.
She has nothing. I mean, she loved
the people.
The people, and she talked
about destroying you, yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of people want to do that, honey, Gary.
They do. Let's
here.
What is your prayer for this fellow?
Whatever, I'm open. To come to the end of himself, I guess, to come to the full.
No, I think the way you talk and all that you put.
I've known him for all my